That ball crushed deep to right field. That's a grand slam. Marwin Gonzalez hits a 1-0 pitch out to right for a grand slam to give the Astros a 10 spot tonight. Five RBIs for Marwin. Slider, and that's been a key pitch for him. Gets a ground ball here. Could end the game. 4-6-3. Game over. Astros win the opening game on this road trip 10-0. They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
All right, well, welcome in, everybody. It is 7:01. Lance on his way in. He had some problems with his internet connection at home. So he's on his way in. Hopefully he'll get here before Jimbo gets here. Jimbo will be here in about 15 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We will talk to the coach about that 3-0 start. Nice win, 35-0, whatever it was, against New Mexico. 34-0 against New Mexico on Saturday. So we'll talk to him about that. And, of course, you know, another one coming up for them Ags. So we'll see. We'll talk to Coach about the upcoming week, which is against Arkansas. And that is going to be a tough one. Arkansas playing really, really good football this year. They are so much better under Pittman. So this is going to be a much tougher contest than it has been. Well, I'll tell you this. Since Arkansas and Texas A&M have been going at it, they've been some of the best games that they've played. Even though Arkansas was in the doldrums, for whatever reason, they always play this Aggies game tough, really tough. It has been a battle, it seems like, every year. So we'll see. Hopefully it won't be as tough on the Aggies. We'll see with Zach Calzada with now a start under his belt. We'll see how well he can go. You heard our Astros. Man, that game was it was 2-0 right away. You're right off the bat. Siri homers leading off the game. They pick up another run. Yordan hit a single. That is the longest, hardest single I've ever seen. Off the wall, a shot. It looked like it didn't get 15 feet off the ground. Hit the wall. He gets a single. Scores on Correa's single in the first. It's 2-0. It's 2-0 in the eighth until Marwin knocks in a run. Correa scores. And then a three-run homer by Maldonado, and then the grand slam that you heard for Marwin Gonzalez as well. Five RBI night for Marwin Gonzalez, although he left a few on base earlier in the game. I was wondering, is Marwin the best option? Dusty's lineups lately have been just like, holy crap. I mean, it's like, I don't care. Dusty's just saying, I don't care. I don't care about nothing. What are you guys going to tell me about my lineups? But another win over the Angels, the hapless Angels. And I'll tell you this, they needed that out of Fromber. Fromber looked good. He was very efficient. Got tired in the seventh, walked a couple of guys. Otherwise, he had one walk before that, which had been a problem. Struck out six, walked three. He looked pretty damn good. So that is a pretty important piece come playoff time. Fromber's getting back into a nice routine and getting himself ready for the postseason. I would imagine it's McCullers and then Fromber. Dusty's saying that Greinke he said, I worry less about Greinke than any player I've ever had. Well, he and Barry Bonds. Okay. All right. That is a little bit surprising to say something like that, especially the way that Greinke's been pitching. But let's get back to Fromber. Fromber pretty damn good. And here's Dusty talking about Fromber's performance.
Well, what impressed me was his strike zone command early in the game. You know, he had a very low pitch count up until about the sixth inning, and then he ran into trouble in that seventh inning. And it was getting a little touchy there, especially with Ohtani coming up next and with Fletcher. You know he's going to hit the ball, put the ball in play somewhere. So, but he got out of it by great play by Carlos. And, you know, he had an outstanding breaking ball. And, you know, he had his rhythm big time. It's the best game that was similar to the Framber we saw last year.
Yeah, really similar. He was good. He was mowing them down. He was very efficient. He looked great. Framber looked great. That is a big, big plus. But his comments about Greinke were a bit surprising. This may be another one. Listen, I don't know what James Click thinks of Greinke. He's not in that locker room every day. Those guys love Greinke. You saw what they did, all dressing up. It was Greinke Day. Everybody dressed up on the road trip on a day when Greinke gives up another five spot, three consecutive five spots for Greinke pitching. And that is a bat. He had one five spot that he'd given up all year long before this run. And the guys just love Greinke. And I would imagine the manager loves Greinke. Of course, Greinke had his issue with Dusty in that he would pull him. He decided that, you know, he didn't get the same kind of love that Verlander and Cole got, the same kind of respect. It's been going on here for, you remember Greinke said it after, I forget when, earlier this year when he said, when Dusty came out and got him when he was looking really, really good. I only let him pitch five or six innings, whatever it was. And he said, that's been going on since I got here. Well, now I don't know that you can afford. I don't know that you can throw Greinke five or six innings anymore. He can't make it five or six innings anymore. And that's a problem. And if you've got to leave him off the postseason roster because he's not a guy that can pitch. I doubt he can pitch out of the bullpen. He's not getting guys out early like Odorizzi is. At least you can make the argument for Odorizzi to be in the bullpen because he's doing well the first time through the order. You can't make that argument with Greinke anymore. So that seems to be a problem. And the bullpen certainly needed the help. Dusty was happy with Valdez in that he gave them a rest on a night where they really needed it.
We needed saved our bullpen. You know, we didn't have Presley, we didn't have we didn't have Stanek. We didn't have Maton. There's about four or five guys that we didn't have at our disposal. And so, he took us deep in the game. We stayed with him as long as we could.
Yeah, Stanek is on paternity leave, so he is out. Now you saw, if you were still up, you saw Seth Martinez pitch. He was a guy the Astros picked up by the Rule 5 in 2020, and that was his major league debut. So he comes into a 10-0 game, which was nice. I don't know that Seth Martinez is going to be. We'll see. He's 27 years old, and that's his major league debut. So, so I don't know that he's going to be in the future plans, but he helped out last night, and Dusty got to put him in a 10-0 game. As opposed to having him throw in a tight game in his debut. So that was nice. The Astros with the win. The White Sox lost. So the Astros lead now is four games over the White Sox for home field advantage in that series. Now they're only 3.5 behind the Rays. The Rays won again. They're 3.5 games back behind the Rays, but there's still only 12 games to go. So that's a problem to get 12, and they've got 11 games to go. Tampa's got 11, and the Astros have 12. To pick up 3.5 games is going to be way too tough. The Astros with a 7-game lead now over the Athletics. It's coming down to this week. It's going to be over. You do have 3 games against the Rays. Heads up, though. That's the positive. Now, you got Oakland, too, and you got 6 games, but you got a 7-game lead over them. So this is the Astros division, and it looks like they're going to host the White Sox in the first round of the postseason, which is nice.
When Tony La Russa says, well, Carlos Rodon, I don't know what's wrong with him. Nobody knows what's wrong with him. Keep putting him through tests, but we're worried. We have no idea what we're going
to
do.
That's nice. Well, I hate to see that for Carlos Rodon. I hope they find out what it is out in this offseason.
Yeah, I hope like February.
Yeah.
They figure out, and it's just, you know, oh, he just slept wrong for a couple months straight. That's fine.
The Yankees are gripping. They brought up Luis Severino for the first time in forever, in a couple of years. They just called him up. They're a half game behind Toronto right now. Toronto lost last night. The Yankees won last night. So that the half game separates those two. You know, I'm sure the Red Sox would much. Now, Robbie Ray has been great. I don't know if that the rotation is going to fall into Robbie Ray in the wild card game. We'll see. Or Garrett Cole. You may need those guys. You probably need those guys just to make it to the postseason. So chances are, if you've got to start those guys on the last day of the season to get there, to get to the postseason, that's what you do. Or, you know, I don't know. We'll see how it all pans out. But it's between the Jays and the Yankees right now. And I'm sure the Red Sox would much, they would much prefer seeing the Blue Jays over the Yankees, especially if Cole's on the mound. Although Robbie Ray has been great. Those two are fighting down the stretch for the Cy Young.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you've got the whole issue for the Astros' perspective is you've got the Jays playing Tampa for the next two games. So, one, you don't want to see the Yankees just because screw the Yankees. You don't want to see them make the postseason. So it would be nice if the Blue Jays can not only bolster their lead on the wild card, but also knock the Rays down. Back two games, because the Rays then go to Miami or take on the Marlins at home. That's three easy wins.
And then they come here.
Yeah.
And then they come here.
That's when the actual battle's going to be
If you're within three when they come here, you got a shot. You got a shot. And that'll be fun. And the Astros are always better when there's a lot more on the line. All right, 7-Eleven ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. We're going to have Jimbo Fisher on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, so don't you go anywhere. You're home for the Aggies. Right now, you're home to make all the bets. MyBookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Look, if you're looking for the best way to play, win, and get paid, and if you're looking for a great way, it doesn't matter if you're a client now. If you're on MyBookie right now, if you're not on MyBookie right now, if you have never been on MyBookie, if you were on MyBookie and aren't anymore, it doesn't matter. Everybody, when you make that deposit, put in promo code BET975, they're going to match 100% of your deposit up to $1,000. Look, you're looking for a great way to play, win, get paid. You knew who was winning this weekend. You know who's going to win this weekend. Well, all you got to do is go to MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Win, get paid. Have the best time. The website is unbelievable. It is awesome. You will love it. It is easy to navigate, easy to bet. And guess what? You got double whatever you deposit at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hi, welcome in. Those of you just joining us, we are the home for the Aggs, 97.5 and 92.5. John Granato here along with the coach Jimbo Fisher, and it's brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. Go watch your Aggs up at Damaris. The Damaris is all great Aggs and love the Aggs. So get on over there and watch your games at Damaris Barbecue. They got great wings over there while you're watching. Let's bring the coach in. Coach, what's going on?
Not too bad. How we doing?
Man, we're doing great. Not as well as you are. Nice start to the season. Tell me about what you thought about your team, and especially Zach and how he played.
Well, I love the start we got out to. He made some really nice throws in the game. The first couple drives, we had options to hit big plays, and we did. And that's a big thing. You didn't blow those opportunities, and they got out to a good start. Then I think the third drive, we just missed a comeback throw. Hit a really nice first down. Got a nice first down there. Just getting aggressive. Just smidgened off on a comeback throw. And we got pressure on another throw and had to punt and a little twist, and then came back. And throw all the way down to 20, had a negative play in the run. It's always one guy. We're just a hat short, and that time we actually overreached, let a guy back door, got some penetration, and gave up another little sack on a twist that guy's getting a half a man in us and didn't play well there. And then, you know, we didn't miss the throw that cut the guys back in the field goal range. Then we went out and scored drive. Scored four out of the first six. Scored the last drive of the second half. Managed the clock well. Come out the second half. Had a scoring drive. You know, did a solid job. Like, I like to play with a little more consistency. But at that typical first start, I thought he did a nice job managing the game, the clock, the situations. I understood things. And as I say, each time he's in the game, I think he's going to play better and better. And then you can see his arm talent and ability to get the ball all over the field. And then we got to play better around him. I think we had two or three drop balls that we got to get cleaned up. We got to block a little bit better. And then up front, like I said, it was as much as one guy on every play. And they were twisting stuff. They do a lot of movement. And like I say, well, now I think other teams will do the same type things. But that's stuff that we see all the time. And that's just a matter of hat hands and at first step, hat placement, and then understanding and seeing what's coming, and then get a little better at it. But I thought our two backs did a nice job in the game. Defensively, I thought we were outstanding. Thought our punter was really good. Thought we did a great job in the punt return game with Anais. He set up scores, played real well. Had a score that they caught a hold on that took us back. We still set up some points off of that. And unfortunately, we didn't kick off like we normally do. Caden missed two of them that we usually get right now. And Connor Cho, who I said is a good snapper, as I've been around, had a little high snap. So there's a lot to work on. There's still a lot of good things, and we've got to get better each and every week.
You know, you hate to see it, the injuries but to Haynes and what happened there, but it probably couldn't work out better for Zach. He's already had, you know, in his first game out there, he had a tough game where he had to make big plays down the stretch, and then he was able to get comfortable in his first start, and now you start the SEC season. So if it had to happen, Coach, it probably couldn't have happened at a better time. You wouldn't want to throw him out to the wolves without any experience right now.
Well, exactly right. I mean, him getting in the game he did and making the drive at the end of the Colorado game, then coming back and starting the game and having a real nice – he's doing it 275, three touchdowns, made some really nice throws. And our young players had some really young players make some catches. I mean, Moose Muhammad made a very nice catch. Demas got his first touchdown catch. So, I mean, there were some young guys, young players that are shined out there. So, but for Zach's sake, he's had some time in saddle, as they say. And so get ready for the season and be able to go play. And like I said, Arkansas is playing really good football.
I was on the road for a little bit of the game, and I was listening to it on our station. And your guys were talking about, Coach, that, you know, it was early. It's early in the season, but you didn't have many big plays over 20 yards. You were like 77th in the country in big plays. And yet you came up with big plays. Can you talk about that and how big plays? You had the 46-yard run by Isaiah. You had the long catches by A-Chain, Wattemeyer, and Demas. Obviously, big plays make a difference, but getting those, Coach, and every week in and week out, having some big plays is awful important.
Well, you're doing this. Big plays, I mean, big turnovers and big plays, man, really affect the outcome of games as much as anything anymore. I mean, you have to have them, get them down the field. And like I say, it's hard to go drive those 10 long 12 plays with efficiencies and not have a bad play slip in there and cost you and get behind the chains. And, we've been able to do both. But at the same time, when you create big plays, man, it changes that field position, changes everything around. And the other thing is, the other big plays you have were in the punt return. Even though you didn't have them there, you had two or three really big punt returns you got to add into that group, too. So it was a huge day for us in that regard.
You like playing up in Dallas?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't mind. I mean, of course, you're not left playing here, but you know, the other side of that, you have to go to Arkansas. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Arkansas, but I'm just saying, in a way, game, I like the neutral site. It's not like it's a bad venue to play at. It's right there in a nice city that which we play. We recruit heavily, and I think it's a good thing.
And this one, Coach, this Arkansas team looks different, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, look at it. What's their sixth-year guys? I mean, look how many redshirt juniors, redshirt seniors are on the team, and guys that came back for that extra year. I mean, tons of guys in that regard. So you have experience. Not only do you have good players, but guys that have, you know, and that matters in today's time, because when you have these young teams, I say, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying team. We have older guys, some older guys too. But, I mean, when you have these young teams, even though they're talented, but the ability to know how to play situational football and all those things, that added experience really, I think, makes a difference. And they have good players, and they're playing really good football.
And Sam Pittman, this program was too good to be down for as long as it was. So it seems like Coach has really turned this thing around already.
Yeah, he is. And I can say they had – they had, I think, 10 or 12, 14 guys come back for the extra year. So when you do that, it's like getting another recruiting class, and if the recruiting class already knows what to do, then that's a big advantage.
Yep. KJ Jefferson, that quarterback, that's a big one, Coach. He poses a lot of – you've seen running and throwing quarterbacks. This one's a big one that's doing it.
No, he's 6'3", 245. I mean, not only does he run away from you, he runs through you. you got to get him on the ground. You got to make those plays. His ability to then get the ball down the field, and they have excellent big physical receivers. I mean, they're a great-looking football team.
Yeah, they really are. He can spin it. He can throw it. Obviously, your defense is playing pretty darn well too, Coach. I mean, what you guys are doing defensively, you got to be thrilled with the way that you guys are playing right now.
Well, we are, and you add, you got to look at our side. We got good players, and then you got five guys who came back again. The same thing. You had five guys on that side that are coming back with that added year. And Miles Jones and Peavy, Aaron Hansford, Tyree Johnson, and George Carper, who, you know, Carper was out with a, he's dinged up. But, I mean, you get four or five of those guys added on with the other experience. So those other guys have all played a lot as young guys. So you got a very experienced team. You got a good, talented team. The guys up front, you know, Leal Clemens, get McKinley back in that group. You know, Peavy's doing a great job. The backers are there. And then experience and safety, being able to make calls and adjustments. And then the corners are playing good football.
Yeah, everybody's playing good football. It looks like, Coach, right at the right time. This is going to be a fun one. This one, I mean, it, like I said before, I don't know that we've seen Arkansas and A&M coming in as good as these two teams are right now in this series. It's been a while since you guys have been, both of you guys have been as highly regarded as you guys are.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, I think it has been since I've been here. I know it is. I think it's the most. So, you know, it ought to be a great game.
It's going to be a great game, and it's going to be a 2:30 CBS game. That's nice. A 2:30 CBS game from Dallas and from the Cowboys Stadium. It is going to be a great one. And, Coach, congratulations on the way you guys are playing. Man, best of luck up there.
Thank you, guys. Great to be with you.
There's Jimbo Fisher right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, and it's brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you're looking for a great place to come and get your wings on, get your drink on, watch your games, your college football games, your pro football games, then you got it right here at Damaris Barbecue. It's on 290. It's on 610 right there at 290 at the 18th Street exit. You got to get on over there and have a big time. All right, as we come on, make your entrance. Go ahead, make your entrance. Not till he wants to turn Twitch off. Lance is actually here now. Nicole was able to bring him in, and he's going to be hanging with us here on the show. You missed the Jimbo interview. It was, coach has got to feel pretty good about this team. Hey, Matt, I'm going to tell you what, though. That Arkansas team, they're playing as good. They're playing as well as we have seen Arkansas play in years, and it is a hell of a job. Hell of a job
it's
that Pittman is doing there.
Dangerous team.
It's a very
it's a dangerous game. When you look at matchups, college football is about matchups, and Arkansas just did a great job against the run against Bijan Robinson in Texas. And his coach, I didn't hear if Coach talked about it, but I heard him say it. You probably mentioned it. You know, his offensive line's just not blocking well.
Yeah, no.
I don't know if he mentioned that, but he did after the game to the sideline reporter. He said, "We're not getting anybody blocked. We got to get some guys blocked. We're not getting anybody blocked. Nobody's getting blocked
right
now."
Well, and that was apparent in Colorado, too.
Yeah, it's two straight games. And even though they've got some talent, even, you know, Green is not playing with, like, their top players, and that's supposed to be a really talented group, that's the identity.
Yeah.
Running the football has to be the identity of success to help quarterbacks. Now more than ever against Calzada, because he's just not as good.
Nope.
I mean, he's just too inconsistent. And you go up against that team that we saw play Texas. Man, that's at Kyle Field, though, right?
Well, where?
This game is
it's in Arlington.
World. Oh, that's right. It's the annual Dow. This is a really tough game. What's the line on this?
I haven't seen it yet.
A&M maybe 3.5.
Ooh.
3.
Ooh.
What'd you I know.
I wouldn't give.
Not sure that's not a pick'em game.
But they ran the ball better. They ran. Of course, it was New Mexico. They ran the ball better. They averaged 4.5 yards a carry.
It's funny, Aaron Taylor. The Joe Moore Award guys were looking at the tape, and Aaron Taylor's like, "Dude, this is not very good against New Mexico." Like, they're watching coaches' tape, and they said, "There's just so many busts right now, and guys getting beat off slants." And, you know, their whole point was against New Mexico, it should be a lot better than this, and it still wasn't. So, I know Coach called them a very average team after the game, and I would say he's accurate right now.
Yeah.
I don't know that average teams are going to beat a hyped-up Sam Pittman team right now the way they're playing.
Arkansas is also 20th in the nation in tackles for loss, averaging almost 9 a game. That with the, if you don't have an offensive line to help your run game or help your quarterback, you're going to be in trouble.
That is no. They've been flying around and doing a hell of a job. They made they lost Hudson Card a job. That's for sure. So we'll see whether or not how Cal's, man, Texas A&M's 5.5.
Oh,
that seems like a lot.
Now it's going to be hard for Arkansas to score too. But Arkansas ran it really well against Texas, but the A&M front's a little different than Texas, so that's going to be a little tougher for them. Boy, what's that total? 14?
they don't have a total on it at my bookie. Just a 5.5.
Yeah. That's got to be in the 40s to me. That can't be one of those college football automatic 50s. That's like a 40. That's like a 44.5 to me.
44.5 is low in college.
It's low.
Low.
It's low, but low. I also think that, you know, I'm not sure where Calzada is going to be generating points. And then Arkansas is going to see. I mean, A&M's defense is salty now. They still. I do think Arkansas can have some. That's a tough matchup.
Yep.
I know Jimbo's not. I know Jimbo respects the hell out of how tough that match is.
5.5 is a lot of points. 728 ESPN 97.5. Let's talk a little Chastang Ford right now. Chastang Ford is what you're looking for when you need that Ford car or truck. My peeps over there, I'm telling you, one of the most important things is, do you trust your dealership? And when you go in there and the first thing they say is, what do your payments have to be at? Let's get you in those payments. Let's get you the best car that we can possibly get you, customized perfectly for you at the best, at the numbers that you need to be at. And we're not going to, we don't have to sell you. If you want it basic, they'll be like, that's fine. That's exactly what you want. Well, that's just fine. You need it to be at this price. Well, here's what you can get at that price. And they're going to get as much as you possibly can. I'm telling you, you will love dealing with Chastang Ford because they're going to give you the best deal they possibly can and exactly what you want, not what they want to put in it, because that's what the other dealerships do. They're always jacking it up with add-ons. That's not the case at Chastang Ford. Get the car that you want, customized perfectly. You can do it all from home at ChastangFord.com, or you can get to the dealership at 610 on Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastang Ford.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Prescription products require an online consultation. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey, guys. Cars for Kids. This is your chance to really do something great for a young person in need. CarsForKids.org has partnered with Houston Can Academy, and they have for years and years. And I'm sure you've heard the different commercials, the catchy jingles, but what you need to know is that you can really help out just by donating your car, your motorcycle, your pickup truck, and it doesn't matter if it's running. If it's running, great. That's fantastic. If it's not running, that's okay. They'll come out and they will haul your vehicle off the property. They'll do the title search and transfer if need be, and they will take that property that you're giving them, the car that you're giving them, and they'll give you a tax write-off for it. So you will get an ability to use that as a tax write-off come tax season. They're going to give you a $50 gift card, Visa gift card, when you mention you heard about it from ESPN 97.5, and you can write off the car and not the kid. That's how they work at carsforkids.org. Go to the website, find out more about what they're doing and how they're helping people have a second chance in an education by going to carsforkids.org, and also set up your pickup for your vehicle right off the car and not the kid. carsforkids.org.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did you watch any of the Peyton and Eli thing yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pat McAfee was on there. Did you see the end?
No.
Okay, Pat McAfee was on for the end of the game. That's what the majority of what I watched, and he dropped a son of a B on there. He dropped a, you are one, you're, you know, it was, McAfee is just so loose and without a button.
No filter.
No filter whatsoever. He's got none. And it was actually pretty good. I thought that was the best part of it because that was when McAfee was on.
I don't think, I mean, I'll watch regular broadcasts, but Monday night, Riddick and Greasy don't really do a whole lot for me. Yeah. They're fine. I mean, they're fine. But Quincy Avery made an interesting point on Twitter last night. He goes, who exactly is the target audience on the Manning thing? Is it for people who know kind of a lot about football? Because his point was, they get some, like, you go some, they don't really dumb it down for you. It's like they're talking to other people who are, they're not going to catch you up. Yeah. You either catch up or figure things out. But that's what Quincy's point was, is like, it's going to go over a lot of people's heads when they start getting specific about their football.
Well, that's fine, though. I mean, you can learn, you can actually learn something.
I've long made a case that people, and this goes on for probably maybe 8 years, 6 to 8 years, people want more elevated stuff. Executives think they want dumbed down, reach the lowest target. That's why they, you know, and maybe that sells. You look at ESPN's programming now, and a lot of it has turned into programming for dummies. They just want the most basic, okay, who can we get to argue? We need y'all to be loud. We need to talk about the same topics over and over every day. But then there's the other side that really would recognize you have an entire audience that wants to learn more about the game. They want to be smarter about football. They want to learn more about what it is that's taking place on the field. And I think that's who that broadcast is for.
Yeah, no, listen, when they did trips left, they cleared out all three of them, and actually we ran that play. I mean, this is an old play, but And they had the running back come out to actually start right and then go left. And the linebacker just couldn't catch up to him. And Aaron Jones just got an easy touchdown. And they broke it down. They went back over and over and over again. And they showed it over and over like a coach does.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. And that's how you watch. And that's how you learn. And that's how you watch football games if you're a player or, you know, a coach. That's how a coach watches a game. You see what everybody does. They kept clicking back and back and back and forth. And it's that, to me, that's the essence in learning how to watch football.
I believe that how we watch games is going to fundamentally change over the next 5 years, and this is the beginning of it. Because what we've seen is, for a younger generation, my kids have grown up watching things like superimposed self on screen when you're playing not just Fortnite, but what's the other one? Not Roblox, Fortnite, One of the other games that they play, and Madden. And, you know, they're used to seeing the YouTubers, the live streamers who are commenting. And my sons, one of them used to watch all the time because he thought those guys were funny when they were talking about it. So there, he's watching an event take place with the person who happens to be playing the video game. But this guy's commenting on everything, and they think it's really, really funny. And there's been a lot more things like Mystery Science Theater way back in the day on Comedy Central. But I think this is going to be the new way. It's not going to be – it's just going to be an alternate viewing option on digital platforms. Is you're going to have more and more watch the game with this person. Watch NBA games with this person. Watch baseball with Rob Friedman, the pitching ninja, or whoever, as they tell you about what a catcher and a pitcher. Can you imagine if you had I'll just say Jeff Blum or a Brad Ausmus, for example. What if a Brad Ausmus was – just in the media, and he's telling you what a catcher may be thinking, or, you know, AJ Pierzynski, maybe somebody with some personality who does more than what they do on the broadcast. They're sitting there and they're breaking down how the approach of how to face a hitter. There's going to be a market for that.
Well, I told you one of my favorite times is covering the Astros. I was you know, doing the post game show for years, and one of my favorite times was Ausmus and Bagwell
just talking ball, right?
We're sitting in the locker room after the game, and everybody had gone, and Ausmus goes, you guys, none of you sit around and stay and you know, and talk like they used to, and you guys used to. I was like, well, if you offered somebody a drink, maybe they would, because those two had they had a giant bottle of vodka back there, and they had, you know, mixers and everything. If you offered a drink, maybe people would. He was like, you want? Yeah. And so I got to sit, we watched a Dodgers game. And listening to those two talk about the pitches, the hitters, and everything about it was like the game was a different. Watching it was different. It was just
way different.
Way different.
You ever watch the coaches' broadcast that Sumlin used to be on? And some of those for national championship. I think
Gary Patterson won't shut up in it. That I learned.
No, and I felt like that should be the case for years and years. They should have had a live coaches show. Well, then ESPN started doing a live coaches show, And I think that's going to be what we see. Now, ESPN happens to have two platforms. They can do it on an ESPN2 also. But what I think you're going to see happen is you're going to see a lot of these digital platforms, the NFL, maybe Fox Sports, maybe even ESPN, start pushing you to the apps so you can watch streaming of coaches breaking down games or players talking about games in that way. It's more barbershop or you want to make it more fun.
Peyton's got the personality for this now. You know, Eli's actually pretty good. He's slow. He just seems like, you know, he's Eli. He's kind of slow. He is. I mean, he's not like Cal or anything, but he's slow.
Right.
But you can't ask for somebody better. And then they bring in guests that are somewhat fun. I didn't think Patrick Willis was all that good, but Pat McAfee was really, really good. I think you're right. You're gonna see this more and more and more. Behind the scenes and casual. It's so much more casual to watch as opposed to the broadcast that has to be as formal as it is. Let's get John in here. He wants to talk about the Aggies. What do you say, John?
Yeah, I don't know if either of you watched the Aggie game Saturday, but Houston Westfield has a local player that plays for the New Mexico. He's a safety. He's 5'11", but he only weighs about 150 pounds. And he has a big complex about being small, right? So instead of tackling like a man, okay, he's a dirty player. Isaiah Spiller is about to go out of bounds. He's about to get ran out or pushed out. So this guy, he can't tackle because he's such a light butt. So he goes for his leg, and he dings him up a little bit on that play. And then with 2 minutes left and they're getting slaughtered, when that lineman was engaged and his legs were tangled up, he hits him high and pushes him backward.
Was that the same guy?
Same guy, both ways.
Because it's like number 21, so I'll be honest with you.
AJ Odoms, he's a punk. He's from Westfield. His friends, his family, I want to know your boy's a little punk. AJ Odoms from Westfield.
All right. I thought the first one, John, is it happens all the time. You have a DB who is smaller who cuts the legs out from the running back. It got a little from the angle it was near the sideline. Instead of pushing him out, he went down to try to knock him down. That one, I looked at it, and I was thinking, it's a borderline, but you let it go because you have DBs who do that all the time, try to take the legs out of a bigger back. The second one, there was nothing to be gained because the player was engaged. The play was over. He wasn't even involved. This guy wasn't even involved with the play. He was just kind of standing there, and he pushed as the guy has got his legs rolled up under him, and he's caught up, and you can tell he's in some pain. The kid comes over and like shoves him down real hard, and he went straight backwards.
Yeah,
and I thought that
it's a cheap move,
and then got up and just like took off. Didn't check on the offensive lineman who started yelling and screaming, and they had to, they had to obviously move. I think Green out to right tackle, but it was. I thought that one was not a good move where he pushed the guy down when his legs were being rolled up on. That one looked very suspicious. The first one, I could let the first one go. It happens a lot, so I didn't get too wrapped up in that one. But I'm not gonna call him a punk.
Well,
I don't want his
John
friends
is.
And family members to know he's a punk.
Well, John is apparently okay. If you're a friend or family of, what was his name?
I don't know. I don't want to say his name. Odoms. I don't even want to say his name
Odom?
Out loud.
Yeah. I don't know. And you're from Westfield, and you like the kid. Maybe you don't like John now. I don't know.
No, you 100% don't like John.
Yeah, you probably don't like John. But everybody likes Texas Star Grill Shop.
Yeah, I don't know how you wouldn't. I went into the Woodway location. That's the one that's closest to me. I've gone forever to the big hub, which is, well, I say it's a big hub. I think there may have a location that's even bigger. But from the time that they started off and they had their own little area in the strip center, they bought out two other locations right next to them. So now it's a monster location at Shepherd. In Greenbrier exit right there. It's Greenbrier and or Shepherd and 59, right? And, man, is it awesome. They've got so many different grills in there for you to choose from. And it can be a little bit overwhelming. You see all these grills that they're on sale. Assembly and delivery is absolutely free. But one of the great things is that the people over at Texas Star Grill Shop understand that maybe you've grilled a certain way and you want to try the wood pellet grill, and they'll walk you through the whole process. They'll help you find a grill that's right for you, whether it's wood pellet, gas, ceramic cooker, whatever the case may be. They've got every amenity you can possibly imagine, even pizza ovens, pizza stones, rib racks, internal thermometers. I never go wrong with the internal thermometer I bought over there. It's the best way to make perfect steaks and perfect brisket and perfect everything, every single time out, the chicken, because you have the perfect internal temperature. TexasStarGrillShop.com. Get your grill at TexasStarGrillShop.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Joel Blank here. Breaking news, and I mean it. This is news that actually matters. Now, new, current, and former MyBookie customers are doubling their first deposit up to $1,000. It's all for you right now. That's right. You can enjoy having a little extra action on the pro and college football betting games while doubling your next deposit, all by using the promo code BET975. MyBookie is the best place to bet on sports. We already have established that. But not only do they have lines on all the games, they have props on most of the games, live in-game betting, and lots of great contests all the time. Bet with MyBookie on your phone, laptop, or tablet. It's so easy. It's so fun. And right now, they're doubling your next deposit up to $1,000. That's for new, current, and former MyBookie customers. All you got to do is use that promo code BET975. That's extra money credited to your account instantly just for using our promo code BET975. And then make your next deposit. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Hey guys, Joel Blank here. Let me tell you about my friends at New Breaks. It's a great concept. It's like going grocery shopping, but instead of blowing an hour, all you do is make the appointment. They come to you. They do what they do. You do whatever you're doing, lifting weights, you're drinking a beer, you're watching a game, or you're at work, and they take care of everything, and you don't have to lift a finger. All they do is breaks, and they do it better than anybody else. And all you do is go to nubreaks.com and mention ESPN 97.5, save 10%, and see what I found out when they came to my job and did what they did. New Breaks is the new way to do your breaks today.
The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome to do that. We haven't even touched on our Houston Texans yet. So, Terod looks like it could be out a full month with this hamstring. So it's Davis Mills. The Davis Mills era is underway. Much earlier than we wanted. Much earlier than we had hoped for. It's something that had to be done. If it was week 10, week 11, that's fine. Well, I think week 10, there's a bye. Week 11, week 12, whatever. That would have been fine. But now it's week 3.
Are you absolutely positive that it's going to be Davis Mills?
Yes.
Okay, let me do something real quick. I want to ask David Culley, not about analytics this time. I want to ask David Culley if he believes that maybe, and I got a funny feeling his answer is going to be yes, is Deshaun Watson going to be activated and starting this week?
First of all, let me just start off and just say this before I get asked. Deshaun Watson will be deactivated this week, just like he has been for the first two ball games.
Okay. So you're down.
That was before you even asked him.
I know. So we're down to one quarterback, and Deshaun's still not active. What this tells you is there is no plan in which Deshaun Watson plays football at Houston, Texas.
Zero.
Now,
I mean, because this is the perfect.
Deshaun's camp, I think, is keeping their mouth shut right now about everything. They don't want to talk. David Mulgeta is not going to say anything. I don't think you're going to see any leaks about anything, because they want to be traded this year before the trade deadline. If Deshaun Watson is not traded before the trade deadline, I want you to get ready for some chirping, because that's going to happen. You are going to hear them talk if Deshaun is not dealt before the trade deadline. There is someone, I think that somebody on Twitter yesterday told me that Andrew Brandt had made the comment that, I don't know if he said this from a point of knowledge or just guessing, that there may be an agreement between the Texans and the league not to play Deshaun Watson, so that they can all avoid any potential hassles before punishment is given out.
Yes.
You think that's
absolutely
true?
And the Texans are taking a bullet.
Then why take
on one of their 53?
Then why?
They're taking a bullet for him. They're taking a bullet for the league. Well, here, okay, which is it more of? The Texans don't want Deshaun Watson to get hurt before they trade him, or the Texans don't want Deshaun Watson as the face of their franchise being starting NFL football games for him? Which one is it?
I don't think it has anything to do with face of the team. Although I will say, if Deshaun were to come in and play really well,
this team that's all about character right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but
I mean,
what's the worst thing to happen? Well, the worst thing that happens is he gets injured. The best thing that happens is he reminds people that he's a player, and maybe the value goes up even before his issues are finalized and his suspensions are finalized.
I don't know how much his value could go up. He's a top five quarterback.
You're probably right. It might be more lose-lose than anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably we don't want him to be injured. But you know what? So we're just going to hold him out. But I think there's a big part of it. It's like, Wait, we can't put that guy out. We're the Houston Texans. We're about character. We're about culture. And they have been forever. In the early days, Bob and Garrett, they would walk in and say, oh, that guy, cross him off draft boards. I'm like, and it was like for weed? We're crossing that guy off for weed?
They were, a former coach once told me, he goes, you have no idea how hard, he goes, our draft board looks like 70% of what other teams' draft boards look like. They'll just come in and scratch, 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 scratch. Now, this is in the Kubiak era, but he said, we get guys scratched off that are 100% on everyone else's board.
And you know, that apple didn't fall far from the tree with Bob to Cal. And then there's Jack Easterby. Okay, so I think there's
one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
You know what I'm saying? And there's zero chance that Deshaun Watson will play for this team ever again. And I think it's more in line with we don't want that representing this organization. We just don't want that. So listen, because stuff is coming out, because there's zero chance Deshaun Watson gets traded before the trade deadline.
I do too. I don't see anyone paying the freight that the Texans want, and the Texans shouldn't move off of it. So, you know, technically it's true. The Texans would trade him in season if you give them what they want.
Well, and the league, like you said, Goodell, loves where Deshaun is right now. Texans ain't playing him. I ain't got to worry about it. I don't have to put him on the exempt list. I don't have to suspend him. I don't have to do anything because we're all in limbo. If he goes to another team, and by all accounts, Roger Goodell will not be forthcoming with any team on what he's going to do with him. If he's going to put him on an exempt list, if he's going to suspend him, he won't give him any kind of indication. So no team is going to go and give out all of those draft picks for a guy that they don't even know can get on the field. So I think there's zero chance Deshaun Watson is playing. Now, Davis Mills, wow. You know what's the killer for that locker room this week? Is, man, you know what? We're better than we thought. We're better than everybody was giving us credit for. We're actually playing. They played organized. They played well. They kicked the Jaguars' ass. They were in it. You know what? They probably think if Terod Taylor doesn't go down, we would have won that football game. And now they've got Davis Mills with Jeff Driskel one snap away.
Yeah, but this is not the worst thing in the world. We're talking like like we should be, like people who want to watch a football season, because the Texans got my interest over the first 2 weeks. Like, I'm kind of curious about this. I didn't expect the offense to move the ball at all, honestly. And they were moving the ball on Cleveland. They did a much better job of protecting Terod Taylor than I expected. Terod has thrown the ball well in the first two games. So now I'm interested. In the long term, though, we both wanted to see what, like, it is advantageous if Davis Mills comes out and gets better. David Culley was asked about, I'll see if we have the audio, because he was asked something about, Culley was asked about Davis Mills, and he basically made the comment that this is what they had seen all camp. He was asked about Davis Mills. I'll let David Culley speak for himself.
He showed exactly what he has shown throughout training camp for us. We know he's always one of those guys that when a bad thing happens, he comes back, he makes a play. He had the INT there, came back the next series and ended up just playing exactly like we thought he would play. It never bothered him at all. And basically, that's what we expect from him, to be able to play that way.
And I'll be honest. When David Culley said that, I remembered all those times in camp where, like, he had that one 5-interception camp practice, and then the next day he came back real strong. David Culley's made the same comment at least two times, and I remember
more,
in preseason.
More.
Where he said, he was asked about
shakes it off.
He shakes off bad stuff. I thought he was buried. After his interception, I like, this kid's going to be totally overwhelmed. And he actually wasn't totally overwhelmed. He wasn't great, but he wasn't bad. He wasn't bad. And I know that when his teammates were asked about him, they actually had positive things to say about him. So I think that this could ultimately be a good thing, because it will be an opportunity to get a determination about if he – because if you – and you've mentioned this, John, the best-case scenario is Davis Mills turns into a baller.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a third-round contract on a rookie quarterback in a year where it doesn't look like there's any A-plus quarterbacks. You might be able to stick with Davis Mills, draft other positions that are stronger in this year's draft, and have a second year to find out if Davis Mills is your guy. Because what happens is if you do strike it rich in the second or third round, it just allows you so much more financial freedom with guys that you want to re-sign off your own team, which may not be a ton of them on this team, or in free agency, you can go get real guys.
So is that... is the moving on from bad things and not letting it affect you, is that Davis Culley, or is that Davis Mills' actual character, or did David Lasso tell him, hey, be a goldfish after that 5-interception camp?
I think it's just Mills' personality. I don't think David Lasso is the one who said, hey, you know what? What's the animal? Is this Ted Lasso, or did I see this on?
No, it's Ted Lasso.
Is it the goldfish?
Yeah.
It's Ted Lasso.
What's the happiest
right?
animal in the world? It's a goldfish. You got a 15-second memory.
Yeah,
he don't remember a thing.
Be a goldfish.
Yeah.
Be a goldfish.
No, it's probably his personality.
We are pretty lucky.
So what
to
do
have
you?
Ted
so you
Lasso.
Say he didn't play all that badly. You know what Davis Mills' quarterback rating was?
120, super high.
Not really.
No, it's not going to be high because
his QBR, which goes up to 100. Tyrod Taylor's was 94.9.
His, was
which
good.
Is near perfect. 10 of 11, 125 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions, mm-hmm. no sacks. 94.9. You know what Davis Mills was?
What?
10.
That's not that bad.
Well, it's better than 9.
Yeah, way right. better than 9.
Like, it's bad.
I'm reading.
8 of 18, 102 yards, touchdown, interception, and a sack. It
did you feel like?
It wasn't, no, it didn't feel like it.
He averaged 5.7 yards an attempt, which is not great. 44% completion. I expected it to be bad. I don't know. I saw him convert some third downs. Of course, one was a dump down on third and long, a dump down to Phillip Lindsay, who ended up getting the first down and extending the drive. Another one, he had a pass interference way down the field. Yeah. That was his throw that generated the pass interference. I don't know. When just watching it, I didn't feel like I saw a really bad Davis Mills. I thought I saw a guy who I expected to see, a guy who was – running the wrong way on handoff.
Yeah, like three times.
Yeah, that was a problem. But I still think that, I don't know, I still think that he wasn't completely incompetent.
Yeah, no, I mean completely. I think our bar's low.
The bar's low.
I think our bar's low. It's 757 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, Coach Culley actually admitted a mistake.
He did something mistake. That you'll never hear Bill O'Brien do.
No, Bill O'Brien would never do,
all of history.
Never do that. It's not my job.
I will admit that I made a mistake also by starting Tariq Hill. I thought I had a good – with Underdog Fantasy, I thought that Tariq Hill was going to be a guy who would do well for me in my fantasy draft, in my Sunday draft or my Monday night draft. So Underdog Fantasy, and you got money behind it like Mark Cuban and Kevin Durant and Adam Schefter – it's an awesome site because you can do your daily fantasy, you can do season long, you can do individual games like Monday night or Sunday night football, Thursday night, but you also have the opportunity to do pick 'em contests, and that means the over and unders that are set for a variety of positions, a variety of players. You can even do head-to-head rivalry matchups. Now, in those over unders and the head-to-head rivalries, you have to pick more than two. You pick anywhere between two and five. And five, if you hit all five, that's a 20-1 payout. But even if you hit two, that's a 6-1 payout. That's really, really sweet. Hit three, and it's a 10-1 payout. You got a chance to win real money by going with Underdog Fantasy. Bankrate.com. Use promo code radio. You're going to get a $25 bonus added onto your first deposit. But for your daily fantasy action and for your over-unders and your rivalry matchups, there's only one place, and that's Underdog Fantasy.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's good.